Well, good morning, church. If you're new here, my name's Brandon. I'm one of the lucky fellas that they allow to be a pastor around this place. I'm glad you joined us. It's Baptism Sunday, but you might notice there's a little something missing. Here over in our Appleton location, we've got a number of people that are getting baptized, and in about a month and a half on Easter, like Andrew said, we're going to be doing the same thing here. And so it's a big deal. It's an exciting Sunday, and I want us then to pause and ask the question, why on earth do we do this? Like, why do we dunk people? Why is this a thing that we do in church? Admittedly, it's one of the odd things that we do. Just think about it. It's a little peculiar. Especially if you're new to the whole church thing, you go, why is this one of the things they do? Every once in a while, they bring in an inflatable hot tub and just dunk people. What on earth? For those of us been part of the church thing for a while, we're kind of used to it. Well, just imagine if aliens were to come to Earth and their only chance to observe human life was by sitting in a baptism service. What would they conclude about us? They go, man, these guys take hygiene seriously. I mean, they get a room full of them. The leader just starts grabbing them and holding them underwater, and everyone else is applauding. These guys, cleanliness is a serious business for the humans. I mean, it's just odd. I mean, think about this. No other club that you join has as a prerequisite to membership that you get dunked underwater. Can you imagine? You hand the guy your application for your Costco card, and he hands you a t-shirt and says, hey, throw this on, go to the inflatable hot tub display, and a team member will be there shortly to baptize you. It's just like no other club makes you get dunked underwater to get into the club. So why on earth? It's a little odd, and here's to add on top of the fact that it's a bit odd, it's a bit confusing. Why? Because it seems like there's a lot of disagreement between Christians about how and when people should be baptized. In fact, if you walk up to just about any Christian on the planet and say, hey, which kind of Christian are you? The sprinkle baby kind or the dunk believers kind? Most of them without hesitation will be able to say, well, I'm the dunk believer kind or I'm the sprinkle baby kind. And you ask them, well, why is that? 9 out of 10 of them will go, well, that's what they do at the church I go to. You know, it's not. Some people have really processed through this, but a lot of people, they just find a solid, you know, Bible preaching church where the people are nice and they go along with it. So it's a bit odd and it's a bit confusing. But all Christians agree on one thing. It's important. This is baptism. It's a big deal. And so it is worth sorting it out. It's worth diving into that weird conversation and figuring it out, what it's all about and why we do it. Why should I do it? So to help it make sense, I've got three questions. One, what does baptism show? Two, what does baptism shout? And three, why should I take this step? But before we dive into those questions, I've got sort of a pre-question question is, why don't we sprinkle babies in this church? It's important to know, and I want everyone to hear me on this. There are wonderful, smart, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing Christians on both sides of this issue. So we do not scoff at those who believe differently than us in this, yet we hold firmly to our own convictions, which are that we don't sprinkle babies. We'll dedicate a baby to the Lord, but we don't baptize them because we believe in believer baptism. And here are three reasons. And this is going to be a little bit oversimplified, but this is not a message about what we don't believe. This is a message about what we do believe. But real quick, why don't we sprinkle babies? One, there is not one single instance of an infant being baptized anywhere in the scriptures. Not taught nor exampled. Number two, infant baptism is rooted in tradition that was added several generations after the apostles had passed away. And we belong to that branch of Christianity that says, if it ain't in here, it's not authoritative. The sola scriptura is the term. Scripture alone is our authority for things concerning faith and practice. You don't get the speed limit or what temperature you should cook a steak to in here. Just things concerning faith and practice. And so tradition then has value, but it doesn't have authority. We hold traditions in line with this, not the other way around, right? So it's not in the Bible. We're the Christians who say if it ain't in the Bible, it's not authoritative. And then number three, and this is the most important one, is that baptism in the New Testament is always a response. Baptism in the New Testament is always, in every single instance, a response. Someone has heard the gospel, understood it, believed it, and changed directions. So this is something an infant simply does not have the intellectual capacity to do. So baptism for us, as we see in the Bible, and we'll love people who disagree with us, but baptism for us is for those who have heard the gospel, changed directions, and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. This is what it's for. So in this church, we're the kind that dunks believers, not sprinkles babies. Three questions about baptism. And each question, I got three answers. All right. First, what does baptism show? What does it shout? And why should I take this step? Number one, what does baptism show? Like, what does it symbolize or display portray? First thing, baptism shows I died with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is debunking the silly notion that Christians can live however they want to live and sin how much ever they want to sin, and God will be cool with it all, because the gospel teaches that we're saved by God's grace and not by our behavior. So you could conclude then, well, I can just behave however I want and God's going to be cool with it. And Paul is pulling his hair out going, are you kidding me? How on earth is it possible that someone who has died to sin would continue living in it? That's not the way it's supposed to work. And then Paul says this in Romans 6:3. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You hear that? Don't you know that everyone who was baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? And the baptism that he's talking about here isn't talking about water. It's talking about what the Holy Spirit does. It's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit of baptizing or immersing our life into the life of Christ. Somehow, and this is a mystery, and when we get to heaven, it's going to blow our minds because we'll see it. We'll go, that's how it was working. But somehow, the Holy Spirit applies to our life the work of Jesus on the cross in his death and his burial. And then, therefore, what is true of Christ physically is true of us spiritually. And water baptism shows that. It displays that. By the immersion, the believer goes down into the water, just like Christ went down into the grave. First thing baptism shows is I died with Christ. Second thing it shows, I was raised with Christ. Paul continues on saying in Romans, he says, we were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Do you hear what he's saying there? He's saying just in the same way that the Holy Spirit joins our life with Christ in his death and burial, he also joins our life with Christ in his resurrection. What was true of Jesus physically when he rose from the dead is true of us spiritually. So if the old sinful you died and went down into the grave, what does it mean? It means that God is going to bring you back up and create new life in you. That's what he's all about. I mean, hallelujah. I hope that's why you're here. So when a Christian comes out of the water, it's showing that Jesus has made them new. Now, the third thing baptism shows, not just I died with Christ, not just that I rose from the dead with Christ, but it also shows that I will live forever with Christ. I'm going to read the rest of this paragraph, but I want you to pay specific attention to verses 8 and 9. Paul goes on, he continues talking about this. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God, and you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Do you hear what he's saying there? The language Paul uses, he says, you know that we were crucified. We weren't crucified. Jesus was crucified. Paul wasn't crucified when he wrote this. He says, we died. Paul was still alive. He hadn't died yet. His body, his heart was still beating. But he's saying, but because of what Jesus did, and by the Holy Spirit taking that work and applying it to our lives, what was true of Jesus physically is true for us spiritually. And one day, physically as well. Now, verse 8, he says, and now here's the deal. If we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And he's not talking about life on earth only. How do I know that? Because verse 9, he says, and we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Do you hear that? It was Jesus, man. He went into the grave, and when he came up, he said, I'm never going back to that. Never again. Never again will Jesus die. And that means for those of us whom the Holy Spirit has baptized into Christ, we will never die again. Okay? I got baptized when I was 23 years old. I got baptized once when I was real little. Had no clue what it meant. Didn't mean anything to me. It was a fast-talking Baptist preacher that kind of suckered my mom into it, I think. I don't know. But it didn't mean anything. But I tell you, I came crashing into the kingdom when I was 23. My life was a mess. I gave Jesus all of it, and he turned me upside down. And I got baptized then, and it meant something. I went down under that water. I tell you, I'm never getting baptized again. I am never going to get back, because I ain't never going into a grave. One day my heart's going to stop beating and they're going to lay my body in a grave, but my soul's not going to be there. It's going to be long gone. I'm done with the rental, okay? My soul will never see a grave again, so I'm not going to get baptized again. A baptism shows, a water baptism, the believer goes down into the grave, comes out of that grave, and says, I ain't never going in that grave again. That's what it shows. Number two question here, what does baptism shout? Not what does it portray, but what does it proclaim? Baptism shouts, I am a believer. If you think about this, when you choose to be baptized, you are declaring, you're standing before God, before the church, before your friends, your family, the angels, the demons, Satan, the whole entire universe, and you are saying that I heard the good news about Jesus, and I believe it, and I'm going to follow him. I'm following him the rest of my life. No turning back, right? You are declaring, I am a believer. The second thing baptism shouts, not just I am a believer, but I'm a belonger. I don't even know if this is a word. I just made it up. But baptism is not just I'm a believer, but I'm a part of something. Listen to what Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3. He says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, again, he's not talking about water. He's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. The water represents the work of the Holy Spirit. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're somehow in Christ and he's in us in our lives. There's a union that is mysterious and glorious. And he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. Meaning none of this is based on your ethnicity, your gender, or your social status. None of that matters. We're all part of the family. When you're baptized, you proclaim, I'm part of the family. Yeah, they make Thanksgiving awkward, but they're mine. They're my people, and I'm a part of this thing. Baptism proclaims I'm a belonger. When you choose to be baptized, you're just shouting that to the world. I'm part of the family now. Baptism, and that's why we're here. I'm not going to baptize someone, just me and them. There's no one here to rejoice with those who rejoice. Finally, baptism shouts, not just I'm a believer and I'm a belonger, but I want you to hear this. It shouts, I am beloved. I want you to think about, we remember when Jesus got baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus comes out of the water and behold, a voice from heaven said, this right here, this is my son, my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Now that is not just a proclamation for the world, but also for the one who just came out of the water. Both. What's that got to do with you and me? Let's read the verse before the verse, Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. See, the same word that the Father spoke over his Son so many years ago, he speaks over you and I today. If you are in Christ, the Father says, this is my kid right here. This one, love him. So pleased with this. This one's mine, beloved. Baptism proclaims, I am a believer, I am a belonger, and listen, my soul, you are beloved. Final question. Why should you take this step? Here's answer number one. Why should you take this step? One, Jesus commanded it. Number two, Jesus commanded it. And number three, you guessed it, Jesus commanded it. Jesus himself was baptized. It confused John the Baptist. Jesus is coming to him. He's like, what? You're the Messiah. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, listen, this is the way things got to be. Okay, this has got to be done to fulfill the word of God. Okay, Jesus himself was baptized. And then when he sends his disciples out, he tells them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to help other people follow me. Here's how he says it. Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations. Help people follow me. And then part of that, a big part of that, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Did you hear? The big part of disciple making is baptizing. So Jesus not only just gets baptized, he sends out baptizers. And then you see Peter, after Jesus ascends into heaven and then sends his Holy Spirit to infuse the life of Christ into the life of the believers, Peter does not skip a beat. He preaches the gospel And a bunch of people respond, and this is what Peter says. He remembers, I'm supposed to make disciples, then they're supposed to get baptized. And so when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said, and the rest of the apostles, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Like, what's the next step? We've heard the gospel. We believe it. We want to change directions. What is the next step? And Peter said to them, repent. Let's just change directions and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized. When he sent his disciples out, they were to be baptizers, and Peter carried that on. This is the way it's supposed to be. If you are saying, I want to follow Jesus, he says, step one, repent, that you turn. Step two, you get dunked. That's the order of things. And so I always ask, anytime I preach a text, how do we live this out in 2022? Well, the good news is this one's not too difficult. You just obey and get dunked. I mean, this is a commandment. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Here's the deal, it's not the most important commandment. Jesus was really clear on that. Most important commandment, you love God with everything you got, and you love your neighbors at least as much as you love yourself. That's what's most important. So it's not the most important commandment, but it's a commandment. And there's no such thing as a hollow commandment. Every commandment has purpose. Now, Jesus doesn't give commandments because he needs something from us. He's not sitting up there going, man, if they would just do this, I would finally. No, he gives command. If he gives a commandment, it's for our benefit, not his necessarily. So there's no hollow commandment. So I kind of ask, what's holding you back? What's the objection? If you haven't taken this step of obedience, what's in there? Why is that? You're saying, Jesus, I trust you, but it's not enough to obey you in this one thing. What's going on there? Pay attention to that. Pray through that. Do business with God concerning that. Now, the most common question I get about baptism is, should I get baptized again? Now, a lot of times this is from people who were baptized maybe as an infant or at a very young age and didn't really understand what it meant. Maybe it didn't mean anything whatsoever to them. Sometimes it's from someone who was baptized but then totally walked away from God. And now they've come back to him and they're saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And they wonder, should I get baptized again? Either way, if you are wondering, should I get baptized again? I'm not going to answer yes or no. But I will remind you of two truths, and I encourage you to process that decision through the lenses of these two truths. Number one, remember that baptism is a response to the gospel. Someone has heard it, understood it, and made the decision to follow Jesus. So if that wasn't you the first time, but it is you now, probably go ahead. Right. Baptism is always a response to the gospel. The second lens to look at this. Remember that I just really want to remind you that there's nothing magic about the water. It's not the water that saves you. It's the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross in his death, burial, resurrection. Water doesn't save, the blood of Christ saves. So God's not up there going, man, if this dude would just get saved, if he would or just get baptized, I could save him. It's not the case. But there is power in obedience, though. There's significance in hearing the voice of the Master and saying yes. So What is holding you back? Would God be leading you to take this step? This Easter Sunday, we're gonna bring the hot tub in. It won't be super hot. It won't be lukewarm either, because Jesus has a thing or two to say about that. Okay, and we're gonna worship Jesus, and we're gonna open up the Bible, and we're gonna proclaim the gospel. We're gonna hear stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and then we're gonna dunk them, and we're gonna lose our minds because it is amazing, and we love seeing what God does. And I can't wait. And I just want to know, do you want to be a part of that? This will be significant. But I don't want to just get excited about one Easter. Like, we're Easter people. This is us. Can you imagine if we were the type of church that was so growing and healthy and just head over heels in love with Jesus, that we were just always seeing more and more people meet him, get to know him, get connected to our family, experience that regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in them, people constantly coming to life. So, you imagine if we had so many people saying, I'm in. My old life, it's dead, and Jesus has made me brand new and alive again, and I'm a part of this thing. If we had so many people saying that we had to do one of these things like once a quarter or once a month. Imagine if we had so many people finding faith in Christ and getting their lives changed that we had to bring the pool in as often as we bring in the communion cups. Glory to God, that would be amazing. And one day, maybe, I don't know. Right now we got Easter in our sights, and it's going to be good. So if that's you, if the gears are turning, if you're going, is this me or not? I invite you, swing by the welcome desk, get connected, ask your questions, and then I also invite you to come to the class after the service. About 10 minutes after the service ends, we'll have the class right here. Kids will be downstairs, adults will be upstairs. The class is not a commitment. Okay? The class is just an opportunity to explore baptism. It's a place you can ask your questions. Sound good? So we got the class today. Got another one on the 13th. But for now, we're going to join the other part of our church over in Appleton. Remember, we're one church, multiple locations. So their baptism service is our baptism service. We're going to join them, and we're going to hear the stories of what God's doing. And then we're going to see them get dunked underwater, and we're going to worship with them, and we're going to applaud with them. And so when we do that, I invite us all to stand, and let's join in with what God's doing here and over in Appleton. Amen? All right.